Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And Ed Stetzer is happy to be here with you.
All right, so Ed, this is going to be interesting because...
Unlike the last ones.
No, it's going to be interesting because what we're going to do with Todd, because at the time of this release, it's the end of July, which means I'm a few days away from packing up and moving back to Canada.
Oh, I now, forgot. That's right. You're going to be up in the Great White North. We are the North. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not we are the North. It's we the North.
Oh, is it? I don't even know. I don't keep up. It's a, what is that, basketball? I don't even know.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, I bring that up because basically, I mean, I'm still going to be doing the podcast with you and with Todd, but we're all going to be remote now.
Wow. So that's like in different countries too, because Canada is a separate country, right? It's all, it has its own government and stuff.
And Nashville is a different country.
Nashville is a different country. That's the truth. Oh, gosh.
Well, the good thing is we're going to be continuing to, and I'm sharing this for everyone that I'm connected with on social media, but, you know, we're going to be continuing to do this podcast, even though we're in three different locations. All right. That's the beautiful thing about podcasts. Okay, so to the question for today, and for your sake, Ed, it is me once again.
It's like I can't figure that out. It's like so insulting when you say that. That's okay. You know, Canadians always think that they're smarter than Americans. And so, you know, go ahead, start taking on your Edmonton attitude. I'm ready.
So does your wife think she's smarter than
you? She is smarter than me. So that's not a question.
Well,
that's not
a
question.
Go, then.
It's not a question. That's a proof in our marriage. I don't know about you, though. I don't know how you fit into this.
All right. It's still up to be determined. But let's listen in. So this is a question that one of our Plus members asked. We answered him directly because for all of our Plus members that submit questions, we provide answers within the week. But I thought it was such a good one that I wanted to bring it on to the podcast. So here it is. How do you find quality staff that add more value than they consume?
Wow. That's an interesting way to put it. I think they're having a bad staff experience, aren't you?
No kidding, right?
It is. More value than they consume. Wow.
Imagine if your boss said that. Put
that,
that up on
great?
Twitter. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's kind of like President Trump. He like tweets out his firings. Like, I'd like to tweet today, so-and-so. They're gone. They're no good. I've got a new Secretary of State. I love that.
Yeah. And they had no idea,
exactly.
Right? Until the press shows up at
the house.
I think
when that happened, when President Trump, fired, I think it was Rex Tillerson via tweet. I actually started tweeting and saying, I'm firing Micah Freeze via tweet, you know? That's a good model. Anyway, moving on from there. Okay. Well, and I think that's all. I mean, it is a good question. You want somebody. I mean, a staff member should not just add to your impact. It should multiply your impact, right? A staff member should not just take some things off of you, but because that staff member will be overseeing and working with volunteers, they should be significantly moving things forward on multiple fronts. So if I find this, and that's one of the reasons why sometimes people say, if you can afford to pay half of the staff position, go ahead and hire the person because they're going to be producing more and make that up very quickly. And a good staff member would. But I think maybe his question sort of, maybe his or her question sort of speaks to maybe they're not experiencing a staff member producing new growth and a multiplicative approach. So that's what I'm looking for. So to get to the heart of his or her question, I'm looking for somebody who's going to make us better, not just because it's 1 + 1 = 2, but because together it's now multiplied and we're seeing greater number of volunteers engaged, greater number of ministries overseen with excellence and more. So I don't know that I have like the super unrealistically high view of what a staff member should do, but it better be more than just, okay, well, now we're two of us and we're doing this together.
Yeah, exactly. So there's definitely in larger churches a trend toward residencies and the importance of hiring from within. And that's, I mean, that's such an important thing, especially as it relates to multiplication, because you can't, I mean, I was even earlier today answering a question from one of our Plus members about campus pastors and how do you, if you've kind of exhausted your leadership pipeline within the church, how do you find campus pastors, you know, outside of the church? And the first thing I replied back was like, you don't find campus pastors from outside the church, but if you do, make sure they're at least on another staff position for about a year, right? So having said that, within a church planting situation, let's say you have 200 people. I mean, that's very different than having 1,000 people or 2,000 people in your congregation and saying, okay, let's do a residency program, or having, you know, a larger sense of a regional impact where other individuals of high capacity and high talent are like, well, I want to go and intern, or I want to go and be a part of that church because of what's going on. When you're a church plant and you have a smaller footprint, in a sense, you just don't have as many people to draw from. So it's going to be hard to hire from the inside, especially taking, let's say, a marketplace guy and saying, hey, this guy has, he has the DNA and the values of our church, and he doesn't have theological education. He doesn't know a lick about pastoring, but I can train him in that because he has our DNA and our culture. Well, if you've only existed for 2 years, then I would say it's actually better to hire from outside with someone who has experience and has a set of skills, because then otherwise you're going to be spending the first 1 or 2 years as a 2 to 3 year old church plant training and developing someone who you need to actually carry the load as much as you.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to put it. And I guess the question is too, what if it isn't? I mean, again, because I'm kind of maybe reading between the lines of this question, but yeah. I do think that it sounds like he or she has some questions about whether this person has added the necessary value. And here's what I would say. If you have questions, probably there are reasons for that questions. And I would sit down and with this staff member that maybe you're struggling with, and kind of communicate with him or her, you know, where are we going? Where are we heading? What kind of impact do you think we should have? And kind of lay out, this is what I would expect that this will look like in the next 30, 60, 90 days, and lay out some expectations of deeper impact than what you've experienced thus far. And if you haven't seen that in a certain amount of time, then you begin to say, maybe this is not the right person.
Yeah, completely. Well, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor for today, and then I'm going to read a quote from Mark Zuckerberg on hiring. What guides your core beliefs? Are they founded upon solid truth, or are they based on others' opinions or your own emotions? What you believe about your purpose and value affects almost every area of your life, and this is the premise of the new film Overcomer in theaters August 23rd. It's the latest from the Kendrick brothers, makers of Courageous, War Room, and others. This movie has inspired the creation of several resources. For small groups, there is the Overcomer Bible Study. For individuals, there's a book called Define. And both are based upon powerful insights from the book of Ephesians. You can learn more about all the resources at lifeway.com/overcomer. All right, we're back. Okay, so regardless of what you may think or our listeners might think of Mark Zuckerberg, he was asked in a recent interview what his best practices are around hiring, and this is what he said. So the single most important thing is to get the best people you can around you. When I look at my friends who are running other good companies, the single biggest difference that I see in whether the companies end up becoming really great and reaching their potential or just pretty good is whether they're comfortable and really self-confident enough to have people who are stronger than them around. I've adopted this hiring rule, which is that you should never hire someone to work for you unless you would work for them in an alternate universe.
Oh, that's fascinating. That's a great line. That's fascinating. Yeah. I think that's really insightful. I talked to Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the Chicago Bulls and the White Sox.
Okay.
And did an interview with him. People can find it online if they just Google, you know, my name and Reinsdorf.
Oh, perfect. We'll put it in there.
And one of the things he talked about. Yeah, yeah. One of the things he talked about was that hiring principle. He said, I want to hire consistently people who are smarter than me and better than me. And if they're, and I think he said something like, if they're not smarter and better than me, why am I hiring them?
Yeah.
You know, in other words, his idea was, I'm looking for someone who I can trust to know the situation more and better than I know the situation. And I think that's great. I think that's essential.
But it's really hard to do, isn't it?
Well,
because there's a lot of ego. I mean, you need to be very self-aware and confident in who you are, what you're good at, and what you're not good at as a leader, because I don't really see insecure leaders being able to do that well.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I do think it does require that. I think it does, if you have kind of a realistic view of your own situation and your own giftedness, and maybe that comes when you're older, I don't know. But I think to say, I'd like to find somebody, I don't know. I you know, Daniel, I'm in my head, I'm not thinking it's as difficult. I mean, I can think about when I was 27 years old and we got a guy saying to lead small groups in our church, and I said, his name was Dale. I said, Dale, all I want for you is to know more about this topic than me. And you go to this conference, read a couple of books, and he knew more than me. So that's a layperson. And, you know, it's a layperson who learned more than me by going to a couple of conferences and seminars. So I didn't have a lot of training in small groups. So yeah, I don't think that's as hard. Maybe I'm missing it. Why do you think it would be so hard? Just because of ego?
I think there's definitely that. Just if you're a leader with a lack of self-awareness,
yeah,
it's just going to be hard to do that because you're unaware of your blind spots. I mean, they're called blind spots for a reason. So for me, here, I'll give you an example, a personal example for me. When I realized, and it was through through a course in seminary, when I realized the type of leader that I was, and in this, it was kind of a secular leadership book. They call them the pace setters. So when I realized that I was a pace setter, and then on the Enneagram that I'm a 3, what I realized about myself is that I typically will outdo mostly everyone else. Like in the sense that I will just do a lot. There's going to be a lot of output going out for me. Now, is it all effective? Is it all in my area of best talent? No, it's not. But I can perform a lot to the point where a lot of times compared to my peers, I'm a little bit ahead of them just in terms of how much I get done. So when I realized that about myself, the way I looked at those that I managed and those on my team completely changed.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, maybe in terms of output, I can't expect them to put as much out as me, but what are the areas that they can outperform me in? And what are the areas that I need to lean in on them? Now, if I didn't realize that about myself, then I would have just compared everyone to the same scorecard as me. How much are you getting done?
Yeah.
Are you getting it done by now or this? But that's not the only scorecard around. So that was a critical self-realization for me. Otherwise, the tendency or the shadow side is that I'll just burn everyone out or people will think I'm a taskmaster.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah, that gets fair. So I guess for all of us, the question is how to find those best people, you know, and that's where it keeps coming back down to. And sometimes, you know, if you're arrogant, you're going to have, you know, you're finding somebody better than you. But here I am talking to Reinsdorf, who's like this brilliant business person.
Yeah.
And so I guess it kind of comes back to, you know, Collins talks about that level 5 leader. That's Collins, right? The level 5 leader? I think it is.
Yeah.
And this, you know, mix of indomitable will, but this humility that's there as well. And I think, and that's even when we talked to Reinsdorf that we saw. And I would say that this is the part that maybe Christian leaders need to develop if they don't have the humility to say that there are going to be people who do better than me at this role.
That's really good. Hey, so for that interview, and we'll link it in the show notes for listeners who want to listen. I mean, I want to listen to it too personally. So, but what else stood out to you that you think would be beneficial to the leaders listening in?
Well, some of it was some sports questions that I didn't understand, you know, something about coaching Magic Johnson or who was that famous sports person?
Michael Jordan.
I don't even know. Okay. Who's the best basketball player of all time?
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan, that's who it was, right? Not Magic Johnson. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. See, I think you lost all credibility on our basketball.
I never had credibility in this. I never had credibility. But I did get to have an interview with Jerry Reinsdorf. And so he did talk a little bit. It was pretty funny. Talked about how, you know, Michael Jordan, what it's like to manage a star.
Yeah.
And kind of how that worked in there. So you know, because we all have that person who's just amazing and sometimes can be intimidating. And so there were several things I thought were super helpful. And, you know, people could see the whole interview with the show notes, but it was really interesting to talk to somebody who's such a high level leader who had a very realistic estimation of himself, even self-deprecating in several occasions. Because it's interesting. I know one very world known leader who constantly is telling everyone how awesome he is, And if there's ever a person who didn't need to tell everyone how awesome he was, it was this person. I won't say the person's name, but everybody knows he's awesome. So it's like, okay, you don't have to tell us you're awesome. Everybody knows you're awesome. So Reinsdorf was just the opposite. Mm-hmm. He was just self-facing. He was deprecating. And he just saw, you know, and you knew that he knew he was a good leader or a good, you know, and he, but he didn't have to lead with that. But he kept pointing back to the others on his team, elevating them. I mean, it really was a textbook example of speaking well of others as a management philosophy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, once again, we'll link that in the show notes. Well, thanks again for listening in. And hey, if you haven't checked out the new Plus membership for newchurches.com, be sure to do that, because with annual membership, you actually get all the courses. I mean, every single course on the site with annual membership. So be sure to check that out at newchurches.com.